Well, I trust you had a blessed Thanksgiving. We're just a few days removed from the holiday, and for the most part, we have moved on. We've passed the official start of the holiday season, if you will, and we typically turn our thoughts towards preparing for Christmas, as we did a few minutes ago in some of the announcements. Most of the Thanksgiving leftovers are been consumed by now, or will be shortly. But before we direct our attentions forward, perhaps we should linger a little longer at the Thanksgiving dinner table. Not so much the eating part, but the part where you hopefully gave thanks to God for his provision and for the things God has done in your life. I suspect when our nation celebrated Thanksgiving this past week, there were many that were indeed thankful. Some directly to God, thankful to God. Some thankful in a generic sort of sense. And I suspect there were many that didn't offer much thankfulness at all. And the reason I want to linger for a little bit on Thanksgiving or thankfulness is because by and large, if you look around, we are not a nation, a people that are truly thankful any longer. If you really pay attention to our culture, we've become a nation of complainers, of grumblers. Some organization conducted a survey worldwide and determined that of all the countries, the United States is the number one country when it comes to complaining. Hey, we're in first place, right? I don't know if that's a good thing. England followed by a considerable distance, and Canada came in third. Oddly enough, Russia landed at the bottom, finishing at number 20 on the list. And the U.S. is perhaps the most blessed nation on the planet, could be argued, and yet it seems we have a lot to complain about. And isn't complaining or a lack of gratitude the opposite of thankfulness? One of the many things that people are complaining about, for example, lately is the shortage of supplies. The pandemic has created a very real world shortage of, well, almost everything. The container ships, we see that. We've all seen these pictures of this and hear about the massive boats and the shortages of almost everything. And to be certain, there are businesses that are losing sales because of these items, and people are looking for some things. But that said, last week I was struck by Dave Walker, what he mentioned. He talked about the times he and I and others have traveled to third world countries. And you want to talk about shortage? It's no comparison. I mean, you go into a typical store in a third world country, might be like one of their grocery stores, might be one of our convenience store sizes. And you go in, you may find one or two boxes of something you're looking for. Store shelves may be empty. When you go into one of our massive grocery stores, not only large quantities of an item, there are several manufacturers and several different choices. And so you have to wonder about the shortages. I'm not saying they're not there, but not in comparison. I know more than one missionary that has shared with me when they've come back from the field, when they've gone into the store just to pick out a shampoo, for example, they get overwhelmed by the choices. They stand there and can't even decide what to do because there's so many choices. And to be certain, there was no shortage of complaining. We Americans seem to find things to complain about. Complaining has created much division, or perhaps the division that we experience has created much complaining. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we are never called to follow the fallen world. What's happening in our culture? To be in our culture, be in the world, but let's not be part of it, to be different. And so let's not be so quick to forget the real reason we had for thankfulness this past Thursday. Of course, Jesus Christ and all he's done for us and all he will do. And as we head into the busy holiday season, it's really appropriate that Thanksgiving is the first day, the first holiday, the kickoff. It's a great reminder of what this season really is all about, or should be. We may start the season being thankful, but sometimes staying there can be quite difficult. Scripture has a lot to be thankful, a lot to say about being thankful. Not the least of this particular scripture here, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and following. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything, give thanks. Some translations say, in all circumstances, give thanks. Before you balk at the thought of trying to fulfill that idea, let's not hurry past the latter part of the verse. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's God's will that in every circumstance that you be thankful. If we understand anything as believers, we understand and know that being in God's will in our lives is the most important thing. I think of Christ in the garden. He had his desires, but he said, not my will, Father, but your will. So what does it mean to give thanks in all circumstances? I mean, in all things, is that actually possible? As the difficulties of life pile on, it can be easy to look around and see nothing but the difficulties of life, the challenges. One person wrote this, it can be easy to look around and see nothing good, sinking in despair, perpetual anger, and an inability to feel gratitude. Studies say that depression and despair are on the rise. One Harvard professor states this, depression and anxiety double in youth compared to the pre-pandemic. So not only are adults' depression and anxiety on the rise, the youth are actually doubling from where they were. Little wonder when they sit here all this gloom and doom from their parents. And the Bible never ignores the state of the fallen world. Scripture never pretends that there'll never be no suffering. Scripture never pretends that there will not be challenges. Book of Ecclesiastes acknowledges there will be a time to kill, a time to break down, a time to weep, and a time to mourn. And so if we want to work at being thankful, if we're going to work at being thankful in all things, we need to find a source of joy and look at what I would call anchor points of thankfulness. With a world full of loss, suffering, and changing times, including changing morals and values, we must focus on the unchanging. When Jesus was facing his darkest hour, his prayer in the garden is incredibly revealing, not the least of John 17, 13. Now I am coming to you, he's praying to his Father. I told them many things while I was with them, so they would be filled with my joy. In the darkest world possible, in the darkest hour of Christ, he knew real joy. And he wants you and me to have that and to be filled with joy. I mean, that whole expression, it's one thing to be joyful, but I mean full, joyful, to be filled with joy. Bethany Verrett writes this, Jesus had joy, according to Scripture, when a sinner repented and became saved. He had joy when the Father's will is done, and he had joy when thinking about us spending eternity together. If we're to focus on the unchanging, we find the best place to look is the eternal, unchanging things of God and his promises. Certainly, we should thank God for his blessings here on earth, here and now, that's scriptural. We should be delighted and thankful for the good things God brings in our life. It's biblically correct and important to be thankful in our daily blessings. It's a way of recognizing God in our lives and his hand on our life. But that said, the Bible consistently directs our focus towards the eternal, making a distinction between the things that don't rust or decay and the eternal blessings of knowing God. So remember, the Bible says, in all things give thanks, the tangible things share on earth, and the invisible things of God. In all things, in every way, in every circumstance, give thanks. Hopefully this past Thursday was a day of thanksgiving for you. The problem happens when we awaken on Friday and the busyness and the stress of everyday life greet us as we swing our feet out of the bed. Our attitude of gratitude can be eroded and our thankfulness reverts to grumbling. We need to remind ourselves to remain thankful. To be truly thankful and grateful, you must first realize you have a need. Thanksgiving really only comes as a result of recognizing a need on your part and then receiving something that meets that need. And there are so many things that God has brought in our life that we would have no way of doing. We had that need and Christ met it. We really need to be thankful. And the recognition for biblical thanksgiving, along with the command to do so, runs throughout the both Old Testament and the New Testament. And we see it, oddly enough, first place in Leviticus, if we work through this, work through it with me. Ancient Israel as a nation was required to make a lot of different sacrifices to atone for their sins. It involved, as you well know, an animal sacrifice made on a behalf by the priest. But there's one here that's interesting. If we look at this, Leviticus 7. These are the regulations for the guilt offering, which is most holy. The guilt offering is to be slaughtered in the place where the burnt offering is slaughtered, and its blood is to be sprinkled against the altar on all sides. All its fat shall be offered, the fat tail and the fat that covers the inner parts, both kidneys with the fat on them near the loins, and the covering of the liver, which is removed by the kidneys, with the kidneys. The priest shall burn them on the altar and make an offering made the Lord by fire. It is a guilt offering. Obviously, we didn't grow up under the Old Testament, thankfully, law. Sacrifices us seem odd at times, hard to grasp. I mean, there's a lot of meaning. We don't have time to get into here, all the different things that God included in it. But we try to work and figure them out. And here in Leviticus 7, it speaks of a guilt offering. Leviticus 4 speaks of a sin offering. I mean, those under the law had no problem remaining aware of their guilt and their sin, and the way to approach God and the way to have a relationship with God. And the death required to cleanse sin reveals the horror of sin and its consequences. And we see this, of course, in the New Testament, Romans 6:3, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I mean, we see all that death in the Old Testament. They saw it on a regular basis. We didn't really see the slaughter and all of the sacrifices, but that's what it spoke of. It was very obvious. The Israelites, over and over, they witnessed this. But moving along in Leviticus, we see other sacrifices as well. Leviticus 7:11. These are the instructions regarding the different kinds of peace offerings that may be presented to the Lord. If you present your peace offering as an expression of thanksgiving, the usual animal must be accompanied by various kinds of bread made without yeast, thin cakes mixed with olive oil, wafers spread with oil, and cakes made of fine choice flour mixed with olive oil. This was a separate sacrifice that made for the sacrifice of sin. As a sacrifice the Israelites could make simply as a thanksgiving offering to God. And there's something important here. We don't want to miss it. It's mentioned in the following verse that we would be wise not to miss it. 7:13, this peace offering of thanksgiving must be accompanied by loaves of bread made with yeast. Peace offering, thanksgiving, the Living Bible says thanksgiving, peace offering. Some, they talked about no leaven, now they bring the leaven in. It's interesting. And we all desire the peace of God in our heart and our lives, to live lives full of peace. I've said many times over the years, we can have peace with God in our salvation, but not be living in the peace of God. To have the peace of God in our life and everything that happens, both are important. You'll never have the peace of God without first having peace with God. And it's not a coincidence that thanksgiving and peace are combined in this passage because they're linked. Your peace is linked to your attitude of thanksgiving. The Israelites offered an animal sacrifice for their sins, and their action and worship brought peace with God, with them, to them, for them, for a time, had to be repeated. And one of the times they would show their gratitude for God's forgiveness and a resulting peace with God was to offer a peace offering, a thanksgiving offering. We hear about a peace offering today. Our mind goes a little someplace different, you know. It's entirely different from what's expressed here in Leviticus. A man offends his wife, and in a way to restore the relationship, he may stop and buy her flowers as a peace offering. The biblical theology of the Old Testament, edited by Rozek, states this in part. A peace offering in the Old Testament was a voluntary sacrifice given to God in three specific instances. First, a peace offering could be given as a free will offering, meaning that the worshiper was giving the peace offering in a way to say thanks God for his unsought generosity. It was basically just a way to praise God for his goodness. Second way peace offering could be given was alongside a fulfilled vow. Good example is this, when Hannah fulfilled her vow to God by bringing Samuel to the temple. On that occasion, she also brought a peace offering to express the peace in her heart towards God concerning her sacrifice. It was a way of saying, I have no resentment. I'm holding nothing back in the repayment of my vow. And the third purpose of a peace offering was to give thanksgiving God for deliverance in an hour of dire need. None of these three reasons to sacrifice had anything to do with propitiation, with appeasing God, or pacifying him. It's just a way of coming before God in their culture, in their Old Testament, of saying, God, I am thankful. I acknowledge you, I acknowledge it, and I am thankful. Picture of gratitude and thankfulness and God's forgiveness. And note something, their thankfulness cost them something. They had to present an offering. They understood that these things were tied. Rejoice even greater because Jesus Christ has satisfied the wrath of God towards sin and made peace with us, with the Father, in our salvation permanently. And so, because we don't have to continue to come back with all these offerings, we sometimes become casual in our walk with God and lose sight of the value of being thankful to God on a regular basis. If we live our lives with the realization that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ, we have so much to be thankful for. I mean, that alone is cause for celebration. And even though we know we're saved, we know we belong to God, we know we spent an eternity with Him, it's coming, we can still be moved by the present day circumstances. Life's challenges can wear us down. We read the Bible, we hear messages about not worrying, fear not, and we look out the window of our lives and survey the current situation, and we're moved by it. We fret, we worry, we become anxious. We adopt a doom and gloom mentality. And when we listen to our culture, everybody's complaining, everybody's divisive, it has an impact on us. And when we become anxious, we begin to speak that anxieties into our circumstance in life. It doesn't look good. Everything around us is collapsing. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what's happening in my life personally. I don't know what's happening in the country. Everything's falling apart. Why is that our attitude? When Christ is on the throne and He's ahead of our lives, we see those things and then we begin to complain about the situation. Have you ever found a complainer that was full of peace? Have you ever found somebody with a critical spirit looking for fault that was full of peace? I want you to think about that. Think about how they're linked. Have you ever found a complainer or a critical person that was full of peace? See, they don't go together. They're not linked. That's not happening. Complaining, criticizing, and peace do not reside together. Thanksgiving and peace live very well together. The Old Testament, as I saw, gave us an example of a peace offering, a thanksgiving peace offering. New Testament gives us another example. Only this one recognizes that the cross of Christ takes us closer to God and offers even more assurance. When anxiety and worry begin to take up residence, we find an answer in Scripture. It's a Scripture over the years we've returned to so many times. It should be a key Scripture in all of our lives. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. NIV says not to be anxious for anything. The New Living Testament says don't worry about anything. Amen. How you doing? Not so good all the time. We may agree with it, but there are times where we're moved. The Greek word for anxious means to be full of care in a negative sense, as in carrying a weight and to be distracted. To be so full of worry that you're distracted from the other things in your life. We've all been there. You're anxious, you're concerned, you're worried, and it distracts you from all the other stuff in your life, at times, including God. Don't worry about anything. Easier said than done, right? The good news is that Philippians tells us not to worry or be anxious about anything, but then tells us what to do when we are. Let's return once again to this familiar passage of Scripture, 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but instead, if you would, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hopefully, again, you see the link, thanksgiving and peace. This peace of God. Don't fret, don't worry, don't be anxious. Go to God with prayer. And while you're praying, be thankful to Him. Father, I know you hear me. I know you're moving on my behalf. I trust you're working this out, and I thank you for it. And of all the times you may have looked at the Scripture, there may be something you did not notice. Have you ever noticed what the Scripture does not say? It does not say that a troublesome situation will immediately go away. It does not say that God will immediately rescue you. He may, and He has. It just doesn't promise that. What it does promise is that when you come before God with prayer and thanksgiving, thanking Him, He has heard your prayer and believing He will do something about it for your best interest, His peace will guard your heart and your mind in the midst of the circumstance, in the midst of the trouble. When you have peace, you don't have anxiety. Doesn't mean you don't have concern about the situation. It's not a denial of the circumstance. You're just not anxious about it. A week and a half or so ago, I had a heart cath and had a heart catheterization. And I knew the Lord had spoken to me about it. I knew I had some things concerning my life, and I finally decided to deal with it. And I had a complete peace about it. I wasn't excited about it anymore. I'd be excited about going to a dentist, you know what I'm saying? But the day before and during, I was just completely relaxed, completely at peace, because I knew God was in control. He had spoken it to me, and His presence was palpable. I knew it. I shared with you last week, and you know, and all the times in my life when I have issues, thankfully, I've never had a heart attack, so my heart is very strong. The doctor had told me that years ago. He told me this last week. He said, you have a very strong heart. I heard Chris mumble something. I think it was something like, his heart's strong because it's never been used, but I won't go there. Oh, help me, Jesus. In Leviticus, when they would offer the Thanksgiving offering, they had very specific directions of what to offer and what to include. The offering was made with unleavened cakes, unleavened wafers, and cakes of fine flour. And these different forms of sacrifice are not given as options, but are commanded to be offered together. Nothing was to be left out. And then we see verse 13. Beside the cakes, as his offering, he shall bring leavened bread with all the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. First, no leaven, now leavened. Why is this important? Because we're not to pick and choose what we're to be thankful God for. We're to be thankful in all things. We see this in 1 Thessalonians again 5:16. Rejoice always, praying without ceasing, in every situation and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And now I want you to get something here. They're not telling you to be thankful for the circumstance, but to be thankful to God in the circumstance. You're not thankful when a tragedy comes along or a difficult challenge comes along. It's opposite of the blessings of God that He's promised you. So you may not be thankful for the circumstance, but you're not going to whine and complain about it. You're thankful that God is in the circumstance with you. You're not alone. We're to be thankful in all things. We can't choose our favorites and ignore the unpleasant items. In leaven, yeast, in the Scripture, pictures that's what is false, impure, and sinful. And it's the Scripture's way of saying we live in a fallen, sinful world. And along with that comes the good and the bad. Someday we'll be joined with God in glory. There'll be no sin, no sickness, no evil. Until then, we're citizens of heaven, traveling in a foreign land. Only we're not traveling alone. God is with us. We trust him. We give him thanks for everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And it's not that God brings bad or evil in our lives. He's in control of our lives and aware of everything that happens in our lives. And it's not that we roll over and say, whatever. No, we take our stand against the evil. We go to God in the trial, thanking from what he's doing in it, in our hearts and minds, as he matures us through it. Because the reality is, the challenges and the trials of life, when you turn to God, will mature you, and strengthen your relationship with God, especially when you come to him in thankfulness. So we know Romans 8:28, now we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Everything that comes into your life, if you allow it, God will work it to bring good out of it and good in you. In the meantime, he's teaching us in the midst of our pain, and he's drawing us closer to him. When we're not thankful, we just naturally begin to complain. We naturally begin to look at negative and discount God in our lives. And in the result, we lose faith, lose our confidence in God, and we're saying we're unhappy with him and demand our way. All the while eroding our trust and confidence in him and losing our peace. Thanksgiving begins the holiday season. We're reminded to be thankful and not complaining, confident, not fearful, trusting in him, and to be not anxious. And so Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. And I want you to think about that for a minute. What if you just meditated on that scripture this week, and you let the peace of God rule in your heart, and what you're called in one body to be part of Christ and to be thankful. So as we race into the following coming weeks and all the craziness of the holiday season, let's purpose to be thankful in it. Let's purpose to be thankful through it. Because Thanksgiving and peace are linked together, aren't they? I want to invite the worship team to come forward. We speak of having peace with God through Christ well enough. Without Christ, we're at enmity with God, not in peace in him. I speak of having the peace of God well enough. God desires for us to be peaceful and not anxious. He's not anxious. He's in control. He wants to reassure us of that. Yet in all things, we lose sight of one thing, one very important thing. And if you take nothing else this morning, take this. Peace is a person. Oh, I don't have it up there. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Peace is a person. And think about the word thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. To give your thanks. The Old Testament sacrifice of thanksgiving required fruit of the ground to be offered before God. The New Testament sacrifice of thanksgiving requires the fruit of our lips. It's the same central idea. God requires our thankfulness to him for our many blessings. Let's begin by offering the fruit of our lips as we stand this morning and worship God. We drop the grumbling, get out of Grumblers Anonymous. Stand up and worship God and be thankful. Amen? Let's do that this morning. Amen.